This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Bulldog, you ever have one of those high ankle sprains?
Yes, I believe I have.
I don't think I know if I've had that. I mean, I've sprained my ankle, but I don't know if it was high or not.
I think I had a high ankle sprain one time.
How do you know if it's high or not without getting examined? Like, just doesn't get better very soon?
It hurt above the bone as opposed to below, yes. And that's how me, with my rudimentary understanding of the human body, would have ascertained that. That seems, well, my ankle hurts, but it's up high. Ooh, I think I have a high ankle sprain.
It sounds way, like, cooler. If it's, you put high in front of ankle, a sprained ankle, like, get up. Come on, let's go. Let's keep hiking. High ankle sprain. Okay, you might have something there.
Yeah,
how about you, Eric? Ever a high ankle sprain? Have you had that injury?
I have, and I think you guys would know if you had one. I'll say that.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
So we generally call low ankle sprains. Those will be like what you get on a basketball court. You kind of roll your ankle. The outside of your leg, your foot goes in, I'll say. A high ankle sprain generally can only happen when someone falls into the side of your leg and your ankle goes the opposite way, and you barely avoid breaking your leg, but you sprain, which I always love when they say, yeah, he just sprained it. Well, that means you tore something. A sprain is a tear. And so you essentially partially tear those ligaments on the inside of your ankle.
Mac Jones, they say, was like screaming in pain from this injury yesterday.
Yeah, it can be extremely painful. It's one of the most painful injuries that you can get and still not get carted off for, per se. I don't think, generally you're not going to make it worse walking on it, but you're going in a boot immediately. I did one in 2010. So I was coming off the broken leg. I'm hobbling around all over the field trying to play. Maybe a little early on that recovered broken leg, and then I got a high ankle sprain. And then 2 weeks later, so I missed the remainder of that game, missed the following week, and you guys probably don't remember this, and this was a dark age of Bills football, but Jeff Hangardner got hurt in the game. Andy Levitre goes to center. Craig Urbick goes to center, and Craig Urbick got hurt as well. And they said, we'll let you play center instead of guard, which I had been playing. We'll let you play center if you come back and play next week. And I said, deal, I'll come back. And then after that game, Jeff Hangardner, who was likely my best friend on the team at the time, he said, well, it looks like I'm gone. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll never play another down at center here. I said, of course you will. You'll come back. I'll move back to guard. And he was right.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, origin story.
Talking about, you know, shuffling around.
Sounds like yesterday. Mean, yes.
Yeah, the line. Eric, I'm curious, like, you as a former player, in the booth watching that game, I don't, is harrowing too strong a word? Like, I don't know that I've ever seen as many guys be like, just taken out by the heat on both sides than I did watching that game yesterday. Now, that's not scientific. I'm not keeping data on that. I'm just curious, you watching it, having played in that heat and those conditions, how you felt watching that game. Because, I don't know, is harrowing too strong a word?
I think it's fairly appropriate. I mean, I've never seen teams affected like that. And Miami wasn't exempt from it. They had guys that were cramping up as well all throughout the second half. That's a team who should be used to the heat. And so yeah, when you look at it, those guys were dropping like flies. And, you know, once you start to cramp up, it's going to keep coming. It's not like, okay, well, now you take an IV and it's gone. Like, once you've started that cramp process, they're going to keep popping back up. And, you know, they massage those guys and they stretch them out. But it's, you're just always on the verge of cramping back up. And, man, it was hot. I was soaked walking from my car to the stadium before the game. That was at 9:40 in the morning, so it was even cooler at the time. It was just so humid. The sun was beaming down. And, yes, it was 85, 90 degrees. But when I looked at my phone, it said felt like 99 or 100. And so it was very hot on the field. You're getting baked on the Bills sideline the entire game. And then you add in, you know, you have all that warm-up time before the game. And then with the Bills running 90 plays, those guys were just exhausted. And I said in the pregame, I thought one of the strategies for the Bills was to control the ball. I thought we'd see less no huddle in the hurry-up sense from the Bills, and we did, because they wanted to control the clock to keep their defense off the field. And they sure did, but they wore themselves out in the process. They wore the Dolphins out as well. But when you get injuries and guys just keep dropping like flies on offense, and that Kumerow injury early in the game, while Kumerow doesn't play a ton for the Bills, he plays enough to give those guys a break. So then that just is less people you have out there. That's more guys that are playing starting roles that now have to play special teams instead of Kumerow. And to me, they got completely wore out. And still, with all the injuries and all the mistakes and everything else we're likely going to talk about in this 20 minutes, they still had just a perfect opportunity to win that game at the end. And that's where, when everyone's ready to crown the Dolphins the best team in the NFL, I think to myself, not so fast.
Yeah, and I want to get to some of these details, too. But on the Heat, quickly, Eric, if you would, the point about how the stadium is structured, is this something that, like, guys talk about? Maybe coaches try to get them to not think about it, how, like, the Bills are in the sun to start the game and the Dolphins are not. And, by the way, it didn't help you at all. You're already soaked, as you said, getting to the booth. Then it turns out the booth you're in is actually on the surface of the sun. I saw the picture. How could it possibly be any worse to have to broadcast a game from where you guys do in Miami?
Yeah, they're not giving up any of their premium suite space to give the visiting radio crew a shot at calling that game. Now, their radio crew is right near us as well, and there's a number of broadcast crews right there in the corner of the end zone near the top of the stadium. But, yes, a bad vantage point. Me and Murph made a deal before the game. It was $5 to whoever said, every time you mentioned how bad the vantage point was on air. I don't think either of us had to pay any money, because we said if you did it during a break, it didn't count. So we might have complained a little bit about it during a break, but we did not complain about it at all during the broadcast. Me and Murphy can sometimes get hung up on things, and so we wanted to make sure that was not going to be one of them. But
good self-awareness.
In regards to, yes. Yeah, in regards to where the sun is shining on the sideline, that's a home field advantage for them. I mean, it is what it is. And the stadium designed that way. They put the hoods on the stadium. I thought maybe it wouldn't be the case, but it is still with the hoods on the stadium that they installed maybe 4 or 5. That was my last year they had them. So since 17, I guess, they've had the hoods on the stadium that make it a much louder stadium in there. It didn't provide any shade. That being said, the Bills brought – they actually started this my last year. This was a McDermott thing under his leadership. They bring these, like, shade I don't know. They look like kind of made out of PVC and netting, you know, kind of the shade deals that the trainers can hold, because you can't put a permanent structure over there. You can't put like a tent over there that would obstruct views from the fans. It's illegal in the NFL, but you can hold something up to block the sun so those guys can get out of the sun a little bit. But all that being said, teams have to go in there and deal with it. Yesterday was just extreme, and both teams had to deal with it. Now they get a little bit of a break from the sun and the shade on their sideline. That being said, both teams were dealing with it. Both teams were affected by it. I mean, you understand how serious teams take playing Miami in September when you consider that Bill Belichick took his team down there 5 days early to try and get acclimated for the Heat in the opener. They don't win that game, but that was a strategy that he thought might work to try and help them get acclimated to it.
So, Eric, I mean, an incredible game for many reasons. I think the leading topic, the leading discussion about this game, if it's not withstanding the heat and the valor, if you will, of the team or teams, it's the strategy stuff is kind of on the surface again, and it's maybe unfair to put them all under the same umbrella. Thinking about other times when the Bills have lost close games. They're on this almost hard-to-believe streak of losing all their close games, and all their wins are by double digits. Fans are trying to figure out if that tells us something, even something we don't like about this Bills team. What would you say, and what might yesterday's game sort of, how could that be an example one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly, because I knew I was going to talk about this. I'm talking about it in other media opportunities today, and I just wish I had a better answer other than the fact that the Bills, when they get up on you, their defense is so good. They're good with takeaways. They're so good on the back end of their defense with their pass defense that it's really tough to catch up when the Bills catch a lead. And when they've been down, they just haven't necessarily been able to get back and win. And it's not like, besides the Hail Mary and a 7-point lead at Tennessee last year, it's not like there's a lot of these games where the Bills are blowing leads, or they're just the way it's sat, they're not making those plays. But in 2020, with the same quarterback in the same kind of whole system, we were talking about, especially early on, how clutch Josh Allen is, how many game-winning drives he's had. And all that being said, I don't know that this team isn't structured the same way. It just hasn't worked out for them at the end. But I will say this. I know this team expects to win every game, which is part of it. I hope that, you know, they don't find something, and you don't talk about it enough, that it almost becomes one of those things where you almost end up speaking it into existence, because I'm not worried about this team in close games. I assumed we were going to win it yesterday. It wasn't like I was sitting there like, oh, here we go, we got a close game, Bills aren't going to win this one.
Right.
Bills get the second and one from the one, and I said, this game's over. We're going to punch it in and get out of Dodge and get the 3-0, and this is going to be really embarrassing for Miami for how depleted this Bills roster is right now.
I wanted two more runs from the 1 yard line. I don't mind that they're in the shotgun. The numbers almost favor teams running from the 1 yard line with the quarterback in the shotgun. That's a cool one if you're interested. But like that's my best play. We've talked about it 100 times. Like Allen with the ball, he gets stuck, Eric, on that second down play. I don't know if that meant anything to what they did on third and fourth. The longer it takes them to score, the better. But ends up being two incomplete passes, and the second one looked rough.
Yeah, it's so easy to second guess offensive coordinators in these situations when it doesn't work out. Obviously, I talked yesterday during the broadcast, defended it again on social media after. Everybody wanted three Josh Allen sneaks, and I'll say this: my hardest snap as a center, my hardest job is either third and fourth and inches or on the goal line QB sneak. That, I don't care if I'm with Tyrod or Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I snapped the most to in my career. That's the hardest time for me to complete an underneath center snap. And I know that sounds ridiculous. You're just popping the ball up to the quarterback. But those guys are 2 inches from the center space. And especially on the goal line, they're not worried about jumping off sides either. And so while the ball is on the way back to the quarterback, you're already getting hit. So you can't go backwards on a QB sneak, or else it's really going to get stuffed. And so you're getting hit either by a guy straight up over your nose or on both sides of you. I actually separated my shoulder twice on sneaks throughout my career. That's a side note. Mm. But that's the hardest time to complete a snap to the quarterback. If we – let's say I was in the game and we had our third-string quarterback in the game. If our offensive coordinator said, hey, what do you think we should run here, QB sneak? Or I'd say, I mean, we'll probably get the snap, but – even if it's a 10 or 20% chance that we don't, and they already had two fumbled snaps during the game, I think that's why they stayed away from the QB sneak. Now, looking at it, do they get back? Does McDermott evaluate this game with Ken Dorsey and say, man, we need a better goal line package. Let's bring in some bigger bodies. Let's put Gilliam at a fullback in case maybe one of the O-linemen miss a block. Now he can kind of clean it up and at least get you back to the line of scrimmage. I think they're going to evaluate all those things, but I'm with you. Josh Allen's your best runner. He's your most physical runner. Give him the ball in that situation, but maybe instead of a read, it's a design quarterback run. And I said it on One Bills Live earlier, and it's very easy for the former center radio analyst to put on his offensive coordinator hat on a Monday, but maybe you leak out Dawson Knox in case they fire the edge like they did, and then you can dump it to him or at least throw it at his feet, and so that you're back at the line of scrimmage, although maybe you wanted that clock running as well.
Mm-hmm. We're losing Bulldog.
Sorry, excuse me. Yeah.
You ready?
Like it was going to be my turn to talk, and suddenly had to cough.
Is he laughing or coughing?
I was coughing. I apologize to everyone, both of you and our audience. Eric, what do you think happened on the fourth down pass? Like, Allen's feet right away live. I needed to see it back, and I finally did. He's, like, off platform, and he really isn't rushed. And I'm just wondering, what do you think he just slipped?
I don't know. I don't know if he got happy feet in the pocket, if he maybe thought that was going to be taken away and he was going to have to go somewhere else with it. So it kind of caught him off guard to where, oh, man, Isaiah McKenzie's so open, my feet aren't set. But we're just not used to seeing Josh miss those throws nowadays. And so, yeah, it was a footwork issue. And as soon as he let it go, he knew that he short-armed it.
Well, I mean, Eric, the loftiest expectations, you've already kind of slipped in a little jab at the Dolphins or people who might think they're, like, the best team now. Bulldog and I know better than to do that. You know, we with the power rankings, we use our minds, not just read the standings, so I hope you don't mean us. What did we learn about Miami, though? We both talked about how impressive their secondary was. I mean, they won this game with Tyreek Hill catching two passes, too.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent on their roster. I think Mike McDaniel does a great job, and I think we talked about this last week, about how the use of their pre-snap movement and as much speed as they have on the field makes it difficult on a defense. And Mike McDaniel's done a great job of getting the ball out of Tua's hands quickly, giving him easy reads. They have some fast running backs as well. They have a lot of speed on offense, so they put pressure on the defense. Defensively, it was interesting to me. Josh Allen's been so good against the blitz the last couple of years. Teams have shied away from blitzing him, and the MO's kind of been, hey, sit back and too high, make them dink and dump. And Josh has gotten really good at taking what the defense gives him and just punishing a team like Tennessee last week with his passes out the digs on the sideline over and over. And so Miami ran a lot of press coverage. They ran some cover zero. They blitzed Josh a lot. They were able to get home. Melvin Ingram had a really good game, especially early on. He was giving Spencer Brown fits. And so that being said, they pressured Josh, and they were able to make enough plays at the end to win, but they also gave up 500 yards of offense. And so, you know, to me, I'm looking at that December game, and I'm not very worried about it. I was talking to a buddy on the phone earlier, and I was saying, man, I just think this rivalry's back. It's fun. But I do think the Bills smoke them in December. So he went and looked up the line, and he said, like, the futures bet on it right now is Bills minus 6.5.
You guys jumped on that, or you can't?
I can't.
Okay.
And I didn't give him any advice other than the fact when I said prior – I'm just walking myself into a corner here.
Never mind.
But, no, we can move on.
No, but he looked it up. Like, yeah, Vegas thinks the same. You know, they already think that the Bills are about a touchdown better, even after losing the game yesterday.
So, Eric, I mean, spinning forward here, I mean, obviously a grueling, exhausting day. And, you know, guess what? There's another game Sunday, right? And all you got to do is go to Baltimore now, who are just piling up points left and right. They have their own defensive issues maybe to sort out after sort of giving up a lot to New England, but they did win the game. How long does it take? Guys that were cramping, guys that were – Spencer Brown left the game with heat-related illness. Like, how soon this week will guys feel normal?
I'd say Wednesday, and they'll get back in today. They'll – move around a little bit. They'll get rehydrated. Some of them might get IVs again today, but they'll get them moving. Guys will get treatment. Tomorrow's technically the day off, but as my wife would tell you, there's not true days off in the NFL. Those guys will be in the facility. They'll be getting recovered tomorrow as well. And I would say most of the guys are feeling pretty good Wednesday. I've cramped up a number of times in games and generally haven't felt it even to be an issue. The following day now, I haven't left the game with heat exhaustion per se, but, man, I played in some very hot games in college where you take an IV at halftime, still cramping up in the second half, and, you know, the next day you're moving around, and it should be an issue.
Rain in the forecast for Baltimore this weekend, by the way, 70 degrees. Hey, Eric, respectfully, I was a little not surprised. I don't want to be judging or anything. The Dorsey thing bothers me. I know you tweeted that sort of like the players are going to, what? I don't want to misspeak. The players would even like it, you know, the energy there. What I take away from it is it sort of implies, because I'm seeing a lot of that, it sort of implies that you really don't want to win if you wouldn't throw a tantrum, right? The guy sitting next to him doesn't even look at him. Maybe he's used to this. I don't know. Like, he doesn't even, before somebody puts their hand on the camera, you don't even see the other guy react to it. And as somebody that tries to myself, you know, like, I don't want to react to anything. Like, it's such a tantrum. I mean, I don't know. Does he necessarily want to win more than the next guy? How do you feel?
He might. You definitely know he wants to win more than the next guy. Or you definitely know he wants to win. You don't necessarily know that the next guy doesn't want to win. I'm with you, though. Like, yes, like, if I'm in front of my kids, I don't want to blow a gasket and necessarily put that on display. But that being said, man, I like the passion. And I know he's a passionate guy. And McDermott kind of said so when he said he wanted him in the booth. Like, that's a very fiery guy, and I like Ken Dorsey a lot, and I'll go to his defense. And, you know, the issue becomes now he's kind of a meme and a gif forever in this day and age. Every time he's mentioned ever throughout his career, you'll think back to that booth experience. What I was saying, you know, what I was mainly trying to get across there is I don't think the guys are going to be like, oh my gosh, Ken's a
psycho.
We
have a maniac calling offensive plays.
Yeah. Like, I think they'll be like, man, Ken cares as much as we do. When Josh's walking through the sideline and he, like, kind of like gently puts his helmet to the ground with his left hand, like, I don't think Josh, maybe Josh wouldn't have done exactly what Ken did, but I think he might have wanted to.
Yeah. I don't dispute that at all, that the players wouldn't lose any respect for him. You know what? Maybe this is weird, but part of it for me, Eric, the same thing with Brady last week. Like, you talk about around your kids. My son broke his computer, but it wasn't his computer. Like, it was the school's, right? The kids get to use these Chromebooks, and he broke his. And my first reaction was, that's not yours. You know, that's someone else's stuff. Respect other people's stuff. And so, like, when Brady flips out, or this yesterday, like, oh my God, there's another level of just sort of being completely out of control, I think, that most people would say is the case when you're, you know, smashing someone else's equipment. I know it's, you know, like, they're using it for work and everything, and it's probably not something that crosses his mind, but it crossed mine.
Yeah, and don't those games get put out on a delay? Like, I mean, I guess everyone's talking about it, so kudos to CBS for putting that on air.
Well, but, like, I wonder if they would have wanted to. Like, if it was a highlight or if it had happened already, I wonder if they would have.
If they knew what was going
to
happen,
yeah,
they would have gone to the shot.
I think they just caught him.
Or did they go to the shot, like, we think this guy might lose it, keep the camera on him? I don't know.
I think they just caught him, and it was over quickly. Somebody puts their hand on the camera so you can't see it anymore. That's my guess.
Yeah, and so those guys are aware that they are on camera. The fact that someone covered it, they are aware of it. I mean, to me, I mean, I guess you're not hidden up there, and you're not hidden anywhere in an NFL stadium. There is another play I'd like to see really good evidence, photo evidence from when Josh ripped his helmet off, to see what really happened there in the pile there. But I guess everything in an NFL stadium is on camera, and you can catch everything. But it's like, man, I'm a coach up in the booth, not on the sideline. Now you got a camera right in my face.
Yeah. I wonder if the network would have protected him, I guess. I mean to say.
That's more what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like, what's the delay there? Actually, I know what the delay is, because when we get the live footage in the game, I look up, and it's about maybe a second and a half, 2 seconds, because I can look up. Like, I'd say it's about 2 seconds, because as I'm calling a play, if we're in a stadium that has the TV feed in our booth, I can look up and then almost really act like I know what I'm talking about, because I can watch it again.
That's right. It's like almost like watching the replay, but it's just that's what we're watching at home. Very good.
And that's what I prefer, because we're not calling, like, you definitely don't want that if you're calling a game for TV.
Right.
But if you are calling the game on the radio, it helps tremendously.
Same thing for us in the press box. Like the TV monitor up top, you watch the play on the field, you look up and you see the play like a couple of seconds later or whatever it is. Very good.
Yeah, my thing is, could they have cut out Dorsey? I'm not sure.
Very good. Eric, nice conversation. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. One more thing on that. Like, I often think the same thing when, like, someone drops, like, an F-bomb and, like, it's not necessarily audible, but you could definitely tell what he's saying. I'm always like, man, I just feel like you could have really cut that out. Wasn't necessary.
Yeah, they're not perfect at that, I guess. All right. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.